Hey, everybody. You're listening to WLXU 93.9 LPFM, Lexington Community Radio, coming to you live from the north side of Lexington, Kentucky. My name is Chuck, and I'll be with you for the next few hours. But with us in the studios, we have some special guests. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Don.
My name is Dawn Stice, and I'm a State Farm insurance agent here in Lexington, and wanted to just talk a little bit today about safe driving and what State Farm has to offer to help teens learn how to be safe drivers.
That sounds great. Excellent. And Brian, you're with us.
Yep. Coach Landis here, the new head coach at the first-year program, Frederick Douglass High School here in Lexington.
Brand new. It's exciting. Well, thank you all very much for coming in. I know it's a beautiful day outside, so thanks for coming indoors and spending some time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Sure.
Which appreciated. So, Don, you know, we really wanted to, we have a big campaign that we're pushing right now here at Lexington Community Radio to try to, you know, improve teen driving safety here in Lexington in English and in Spanish. And so I wanted to invite you on to talk a little bit about your experience as a State Farm agent and kind of dealing with teen driving.
Sure. Well, there are a lot of things that are out on the website that State Farm has to offer at statefarm.com that'll help parents with their kids, and as well as some discounts that are available that State Farm and I'm sure other insurance agencies, companies offer for their teen drivers. I know one of the biggest concerns not only is about keeping them safe, but also keeping it affordable. So the insurance piece is a big piece of discussion when teens start driving. So the website has several programs. One of the things that State Farm particularly has is called the Steer Clear program. It's a discount that is available after they complete a program, including drive hours. They keep a trip log and watch a video and do a kind of a self-assessment. And I always encourage the parents to watch the video with the kids to kind of prompt some question and answer some discussion about distracted driving. And in mentioning distracted driving, that's a billion-dollar problem in our industry today, and nobody really knew that. You know, this day and age, we literally have a computer at our fingertips in the car.
So if you're driving around and listening to the show and looking at your phone right now, you're who we're talking about.
Yeah. But I think kids just have that it's not going to happen to me kind of attitude. And I can send a quick text, or I can make a quick phone call, or check my email, or do a selfie for Instagram or Snapchat. Right. And so that's a good, I think, conversation piece for parents and kids. I know several State Farm agents, myself included, we offer to have a conversation with kids with or without their parents, just to have a little more discussion and kind of lay the groundwork for these are the things that are going to save you money in terms of don't get a speeding ticket, don't get a distracted driving violation, don't get pulled over. Those kinds of things help keep the premiums low. A lot of parents have the child paying for all or part of the premium, so that encourages them. We talk about good driving. We talk about good grades as well, which is something I know Coach Landis is going to be concerned with his players.
Definitely.
That good grades, a 3.0 GPA and above also is a discount for teen drivers.
Oh, that's cool.
So they get a copy of their grades to us once a year, and we put that in the system, and they get a discount for that as well. So there's the Steer Clear and the Good Student discount. Our latest discount is called Drive Safe and Save. It's available to anybody, but I particularly talk to kids and their parents about it, new drivers, new teen drivers. It's a beacon that they can put in the cars, a Bluetooth beacon. So if they have a smartphone and an email address, they're eligible for it. We mail them the beacon free of charge. They download a free app on their smartphone, and then they Bluetooth it in, and it sends State Farm mostly their driving mileage, how many miles they're driving the car, because the more you drive, the more at risk you are. And those things factor into another discount. But it also grades them on some of their driving habits, and the parents have access to those report cards.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I wanted to ask you, so there's over 1,500 automobile collisions in Lexington every year involving teenagers. So first of all, Donna, how long have you been an insurance agent
before? I've been an agent for 10 and a half years.
10 and a half years.
Yes. Wow.
So in that period of time, you know, what kind of accidents do you mostly hear about from teen drivers?
it's predominantly, as we discussed, the distracted driving, but it's also the stopping distance kind of thing, especially 5 o'clock on Nicholasville Road. Everybody's been there. And if you don't give yourself enough time, you're going to be the back car. And then it may be the accordion thing where it hits a car that hits a car that hits a car. So we talk about the 2 second rule, kind of counting that 2 seconds of being behind the car in front of you. And so that's another one, the rear end collisions, but distracted driving, rear end collisions, some of the overcorrectedness. So if you get off on the side of the road and overcorrect, and as adults do it too, not just teen drivers, but I think the lack of experience and they get a little nervous and overcorrect. So those are probably the top ones.
Yeah, I think so too. And it seems like also a lot of folks who aren't planning for enough time for their trips. So, you know, they're rushed, and when they get stuck in traffic, get really nervous, and that's when it seems like those kind of fender bender bumper hits happen.
Exactly, and you tell people, I'd rather you be late than not get there at all, so just slow down, take your time.
Yeah, and motor vehicle crashes are the number one killer of teens as well. 1 in 13 teenagers that pass away die from vehicular accidents. And so the crash risk is huge. It's actually 4 times larger than any experienced driver. So I think it's important to let teens know that information as well, since they are inexperienced, like you said. So let's talk a little bit more about distracted driving.
Okay.
I know most kids are on their cell phone, but there's a lot of other things going on in the car too that might distract folks, right?
Sure. Just the simple radio or changing what music you're listening to, even your Bluetoothing your own from your phone to your radio to listen to that favorite music or whatever if they're not listening to the radio here.
Yeah.
But changing the station, talking to your friends in the back seat, taking your eyes off the road to look at the person beside you or the person behind you, all of those are risks, distractedness, putting makeup on, shaving, reading a book. Those are all things that we see teens and adults do that they shouldn't be doing while they're driving.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even eating too.
True.
You know,
that's a good point.
If you're trying to eat a meatball hoagie while you're driving your car around,
yes.
You know, you're setting yourself up.
Not a good thing. Not a good thing.
Setting yourself up for an accident.
Exactly.
Definitely. So what role do you think parents play in this, and coaches as well? Maybe Coach Landis, you want to hop in here?
Well, I'll tell you, I was just on vacation. You know, it's dead period right now. I was amazed at how many kids are glued to their devices, even on vacation.
Yeah.
And so it's an epidemic more than anything, and we're constantly talking to our kids about it when we get to practice, put it away, because I don't want to see it. This is our time. You know, you don't need that thing right now. And it's unbelievable. They're just addicted. And even on the way here, I saw a couple kids driving, and they're staring at their phone. Yeah. I'm honking and, getting all, come on.
Yeah.
So it's a problem everywhere, and I don't know what the answer is to it, because so much of our world today is technology-based.
Yeah.
And so, it's going to continue. We just got to keep the education piece of it up, and hopefully it'll remedy the situation.
Yeah. What do you think, Don?
A good example to kids, so when you're in the car with your children, don't be on your phone, don't be eating your hoagie or other
or
distractions
both.
Or both. Yeah. That's a good thing. Always talking about it, reminding them that the downside to them is not only can it be a risk to their health, which I don't think that piece they really fully understand at this age, but more if you get into their, I joke about, I'm getting in your wallet or I'm getting in your pocketbook, it's going to cost you more money in the long run in your insurance if you have an accident and if the distracted driving is a part of that. Mm-hmm. So, and it is an epidemic. So, setting a good example, talking to them about it, telling them the downside, the risks, communication is the key there.
I think so too. Yeah. I think just being forward and honest as well and being fair.
I think the good example piece you mentioned is the most important, because, you got your kids, and I've got 2 little guys, and I make a point to never pick my phone up in the car, because that's the first thing they're going to see. Oh, daddy's driving while he's on his phone. What? Right. It's okay to do that.
That's a good idea. And yeah, I always try to make it a point of if I need to send a text to pull over, it'll take you 10 seconds just to get over there and send the text off, and pull back in.
Sure.
So I wanted to ask you, what do you think are some fair rules that parents should establish with their teen drivers?
Well, I think a couple things, making sure, obviously, that you explain the rules, but then if the rules are broken, you explain what the ramifications are. And I'm I'm a parent,
yeah.
And I know I've taken the keys, mm-hmm. I've parked the car, I've, you know, there've been take the phone. So mostly the phone. It's funny because we had a situation when he was 16 and I said, do you want me to take the phone or the keys? And he handed me the keys. And that would have never happened when I was young.
Interesting.
Never. I would never give up my car. But I think you have to get to the meat of what's most important to that child in terms of what you're going to take away.
That's
a great point. So when you're going to ground them or whatever you're going to do, then I think you have to make sure you're taking away the thing that they care about the most,
mm-hmm.
and set good boundaries, I think, and good limits, and then make sure that you stick to those. So mm-hmm. if you threaten and then you don't back it up, it's an empty threat and they're going to continue to do it. So
it's very true. Mm-hmm.
And that's with everything. It's not just safe driving, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And as far as, you know, allowing teen drivers to go out at night, you know, pick up a few of their friends, you know, do you all set some limitations?
I think the law has some limitations when mm-hmm. they still are in the permit phase. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on this, but I think they can't have anybody that's not related to them that's under 25.
Gotcha.
And then once they have their full-blown license, they can have kind of anybody. I always made it a point to know who he was going to have in the car, who he was picking up and dropping off, and I would remind him to make sure he knew what their curfew was so he could give himself, like you said, mm-hmm. you don't want them in too much of a hurry
yeah.
that they get in a car accident because somebody's going to be late to curfew.
Mm-hmm.
I've always communicated to him. He was never a user of alcohol in high school, surprisingly, and I know a lot of his friends were, and we always had the rule of no questions asked if somebody needs a ride, if they've been drinking, no questions asked.
For
so,
sure.
And I talk to parents about that, too, when they bring their teenage son or daughter into my office to talk.
Mm.
We have that open communication, and I ask, you know, parent, are you okay with child calling you if there's alcohol involved and not asking questions? Because that's why they don't want to call you, is they're afraid of that grounding or that lecture or that, you know, getting my car or my keys or my phone taken away. Mm-hmm. So we have those conversations.
Well, no questions asked. I think that's a great idea.
I think it is too.
I think so too. So, as you know, speaking of alcohol and teen drivers, you know, do you come across that often in your work as an insurance agent?
I think State Farm and society and Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, I think a lot of that has made a big, big impact over the last several years. Mm. Luckily, I've not had a situation with a teen driver getting a DUI and getting in an accident. They've had DUIs where they've just gotten pulled over and gotten that ticket and gotten the suspended license, but not to the point where the reason they got the DUI is because they were in a car accident.
Gotcha.
But I think I'm probably one of the few that hasn't had that situation.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you won't have to.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not too. So, you know, what are some good tips for really not just teens out there, but just all drivers in general to avoid fatal accidents?
Just, I think mostly what we've mentioned, the distractedness, making sure you put down the phone mm-hmm. or don't, you know, look off or try to have a conversation or shave or put on your makeup, whatever those yeah. things are. And then taking your time, especially we've had a lot of rain lately, mm-hmm. slowing down. The hydroplaning is a big
yeah.
deal. And making sure you observe the speed limit and, just make sure you're rested, get good sleep. Don't be thinking about. I know Coach Landis has a lot going on right now. Probably got a lot on his mind, so his distraction might be, you know, between his ears and not necessarily what's going on the phone or on the radio or in the back seat. But I think just making sure you get good rest and are focused on the road when you're on the road.
Yeah, those are all great points, and I think also making sure that your car is well maintained.
Good point.
Because, you know,
yes.
no air in your tires. You blow a tire out there, you know, you could be the safest driver in the world and have no control over that.
Sure.
So making sure that, you know, your automobile is in good shape before you hit the road, I think is also very important. You know, can you tell us a little bit more about the State Farm Steer Clear program? I know we talked a little bit about it.
Sure.
But as far as,
happy
you know,
to.
How it kind of relates, I know the Fayette County Attorney's Office also has the driver education program,
yes.
Which is run by the Kentucky State Police. You know, they'll take folks out to I think they have a car actually that's equipped with a
it's
wheel.
A simulator.
Yeah, a simulator.
Yeah.
Can mm-hmm. you talk to
yeah.
us a little bit about that?
Happy to. State Farm partnered with Larry Roberts in the Fayette mm-hmm. County Attorney's Office a couple years ago to develop that. It's out Old Frankfort Pike
mm-hmm.
Behind the police gym. And they do simulators. We talked about overcorrecting being one of the problems. They do some overcorrecting simulators and speed and other factors. Going through that program and completing it, they do give a discount. State mm-hmm. Farm does give a discount yeah. for completing that. It's called the driver's training discount.
Mm-hmm.
that. Mm-hmm. Boone Driving School is the other one that does that. Mm-hmm. Both of which are great programs, and I haven't had any of my policyholders complain about either one. They've mm-hmm. both had great things to say about both programs.
And Boone is private, but the correct. Fayette County Attorney's driver education program is public.
Correct.
Great. Correct. And so all teen drivers have to go through at least one of these programs, right?
No.
They don't have to.
Mm-mm. There's a 4-hour program that the state puts on, usually at the high schools, mm-hmm. that they can do that does not have any road hours or simulators. Mm-hmm. So there's no discount involved. The driver's training discount does not apply to that 4 hours, but it is required in addition to the, I think it's 100 or 120 road hours they have to have before from the permit phase to the actual driver's license phase. Hmm. It's called an intermediate license, which can be obtained about 180 days after the permit is obtained.
Wow.
So they've got 6 months to get that road work in. But if a parent wants more help other than what they or a family friend or other family member can give them, they can contact the Fayette County Attorney Program, or they can do the Boone Driving School, either one. Those are the two that are available in Fayette County. When I was growing up, they offered a driver's ed course in the high schools, but mm-hmm. Fayette County's just too big, and they just don't have the resources to do that. So I think that's why the Fayette County Attorney and State Farm and some other nonprofit organizations got together and developed this for folks to have another opportunity, another way to teach their teens to drive.
That's cool, and I think it's great to, you know, lead to safer drivers is better for everyone.
Definitely.
So, Don, is there any, just in case anybody's joining us, we're here in the studio with Don Stice, State Farm agent, and we're talking about teen driving safety. Is there anything we didn't cover that you'd like to talk about? Or maybe some tips for any teenagers who might be listening out there or parents who have teen drivers?
Listen to your parents, kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's good advice.
I think going to the website, there's a whole teen driver safety section on statefarm.com. Mm-hmm. And they have tips. They have a handbook that you can print out, download. It's in English and in Spanish. Mm-hmm. There's some simulators there, on web-based simulators there for road construction and other things that can happen on the road, distractions on the road. Mm-hmm. It talks more about the Steer Clear program that is a State Farm specific discount and how to get that. And it talks about ways to talk to your teen, the examples to set for your teen, the distracted driving, other things that in the car can happen, like you mentioned, having the car, you know, maintained and equipped. Those are all examples of things and how to remedy any of those problems.
Mm, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Don, for sharing more information with
sure.
us. You know, anything we can do to make our roads a little safer and, you know, keep our teen drivers safe and all our drivers safe, I think is important. So
agreed.
Those are all some really great tips.
Thank you.
So Coach Landis, you know, maybe let's set up a little bit about, so you are the head coach at Frederick Douglass High School,
mm-hmm.
which is a brand new high school here in Lexington that's just about to get started here up on Winchester Road, right?
That's correct. Okay. We have our first practice this coming Monday on our own facility. So, wow. You know, it's been we got hired officially in January, mm-hmm. okay, and so when I took the job, you know, there was a lot of, you know, drawings and pictures and paintings, and everything looked so beautiful, and now it's finally here. You know, we've got some actual buildings, and we're going to get the keys next Saturday, hopefully, so we can get into the building, cool. get on the facility. You know, the whole month of June, we spent our whole time practicing over at Crawford Middle School, mm-hmm. and so it kind of took me back a while. You know, we had to go out there and cut the grass on our own and line the field, and I did a lot of things I haven't done in ever, so that was a good experience for me. And,
yeah.
You know, you learn to kind of appreciate it more when you're having to do these things. And, you know, coming down from the college level, it's been a big, you know, a lot of things that you take for granted, because in college you have so many different people wearing so many different hats.
Yeah.
Take care of that stuff for you. And when you get to high school, you know, it's on you to get done. So it's been a neat process. And, you know, just seeing the facility itself being done finally Monday is going to be a welcome experience for us.
That's great. And so the high school is set to open in the fall of this year. Upon Winchester
yep.
Road, and the mascot's the Stallions.
Well, not yet.
Not yet?
So,
sorry, is that a...
Long story boring, we had, they announced Stallions, mm-hmm. and then they had to retract the name, and so they're going to do a vote mm-hmm. on day one of school. Oh. So by lunchtime on the 16th of August, we will have a new nickname.
Wow.
And so I think Stallions is still in the running, mm-hmm. as our few others, so we're going to give the kids a few options and then go from there.
That's cool. Are you all partial to any names in particular?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't say on the radio.
That's okay.
But
that's fine. What about you, Don? You know.
Well, I liked the idea of the Stallions, and I know there's been a little bit of conflict about it, but I think that it's a good it's a horse farm area. Mm-hmm. We're a horse farm city. We're a horse city.
Yeah.
But I understand that, you know, you try to be as diplomatic as possible. Sure. And so let the democratic process work and let the kids have a say and probably have a little more pride in their school and in their mascot if they have a say in the process and in naming it. So yeah. Good idea, I think, and I'll be excited to see what it is, and whatever it is, we'll support them.
Absolutely, and I think that's a great way to do it, and I think the Stallions is because, you know, the school is once part of Hamburg Farm, which, you know, I think 6 Kentucky Derby winners were sired there, so I think that's a shout-out to that area as well, but the colors are green and orange, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's set. Yep. So that's good to hear.
And our principal is from Miami, Florida. And so if you ever seen the Hurricane uniforms, that's what he kind of wanted our school to model itself after. And, you know, if he can bring the weather with him, maybe that'll help us.
Yeah, that'd be great. So Coach Landis, so what is your football background? Where do you come from?
Well, I've about 15 years in college. I went to Georgetown College, and that's where I got my start coaching. And I was there for a long time and then had an opportunity to take another job. I was at EKU. And then from there, this past season was over at UK. And then the athletic director, Gary McPeak, over at Douglas here, he's a good friend of mine. When I played arena ball, he was one of the coaches. And Mike Harmon was another coach, and he's our assistant principal. And then Lester Diaz was on that staff before I got there. But all three of those guys are football guys, and they had been calling me, hey, with this new high school, man, this is some good stuff going on. You need to come check this out. And at first I was, nah, you know, I'm in the SEC. This is good. I'm fine. And then they started sending pictures and sending me more information. All of a sudden, I was like, wow, this has got the makings to be pretty, pretty special. So went over there to talk with them, and after walking through the place and seeing everybody and sitting down with them, it was a done deal. You know, it was a no-brainer for me.
That's awesome. And so you have the first practice is about to start. How many students did you have come out?
We've had anywhere from 66 on down, so 66 is a pretty solid number, I would think. You know, we're in a unique situation where we pull from Station, mm-hmm. Clay, part of Lafayette, and then we've got the whole Carter G. Woodson Academy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you live in my district, but you currently attend Henry Clay, you have the choice to stay there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're not going to be at full capacity from a student population for another 4 years down the road. Mm. Okay, so we're built for about 2,000.
Yeah.
This first year, we're going to have anywhere from 8 to 1,000.
Gotcha.
But we're still going to play 6A ball. And then, you know, once every incoming freshman has to come to Douglas if you're in our district. So, you know, 4 years from now, we'll be 2,000 strong rolling.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think are some unique challenges to being a totally new program?
Well, you know, there's a lot of challenges, but, you know, we don't really worry about those. We're trying to be forward thinkers here and think about all the opportunities that we have. And I think the biggest one is, you know, you get to set the culture from day one of what you want these kids to act like and be like and do for you. So that's been our biggest challenge is creating our own culture, because, you know, they come from three different places and they all have their own ideas of what football is supposed to look like. And we got to get them thinking how it's supposed to be with us and live in that way. And I think my coaches have done an excellent job of portraying that right now. And so through June, you know, like I said, we had 13 practices and we're on the right track. They're getting there.
That's great. And when do you all practice?
So we'll, you know, starting in July 10th, we'll go Monday through Friday and we'll go in the mornings and then, you know, all the way up until our first scrimmage and first ball game.
Some 2 days.
Well, you know, in Kentucky, there's so many rules and whatnot that, you know, when I was growing up, everybody had 2 days, sometimes 3 days. Mm-hmm. But now there's so many rules on time restrictions. You know, we just get them there in the morning. We keep them for the allotted time we're allowed, and then we get them out of there.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so you were formerly the assistant linebacker coach at UK, right?
Yeah.
And you also played for the Lexington Horsemen.
Yeah.
That were
long time Barrytown. Ago.
Yeah, that was 2004, I think.
Four or six, I can't remember. Yes. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So what do you think is the difference between coming from that professional or coming from that college environment to the high school football world?
Well, the big thing is the quality of athlete that you have, because mm-hmm. you know, in college you can recruit what you want and what you have, and if you don't like somebody, you can go get somebody else, so to speak. Mm-hmm. In high school, you have what you have. But the neat thing about high school is these kids are so underdeveloped mentally that you get an opportunity to really mold them as human beings and make them better men. So when they do get to college and get that opportunity to go play ball somewhere, you know, hopefully kids that come out of our program are more prepared to excel at that next level.
Yeah, well, I think that's great, and I do think that sports plays a huge important role in youth development.
No doubt.
You know, how do you feel about you know, establishing this program and kind of setting your own coaching style? Do you have a particular coaching style that you follow or developed, or are you?
Well, you know, I've been at three different places, and all three of the head coaches I worked for are very different, but they're all great football minds and great coaches. And so along your journey, you pick some things you like, some things, you know, you probably won't use, and you mold your own philosophy. And I don't know, you could probably ask her more what Evander says about me on the field, but
yeah.
I get a little juicy every now and again, a little fiery. I'm passionate. I know that it's when I get out there, you kind of flip the switch and it's go time. And I'm not going to let you be average. That's my big thing, is I don't want these kids to ever be average. And if I do let them be average, then I'm doing every parent out there whose kid plays for me a disservice. And they're not sending their kid to play ball for me to be average.
Yeah.
So I can't let the kid do that. I can't let their teammates be average. You know, we got to hold each other accountable, and our kids have done a really good job of doing that, and our coaches have tried to instill that in them. So, you know, like I said, it's a process, and we're getting there.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that's great, and, you know, best of luck to you, Coach Landis.
I appreciate that.
I think this is going to be pretty fun. When's your first game?
So August 11th, we have a scrimmage. We'll be at home, so we open up on our field. And then the following weekend, we are at Danville on a Saturday night. So the good Lord blessed us with a state runner-up first game, so we'll see how that goes. But
wow.
It'll be interesting. They're a good ball club, and I know Coach Clevenger will have them well coached up and ready to go.
Well, that's awesome. That's exciting. And where can people go to get more information about Frederick Douglass High School
Football? I've got a great staff, like I said, and one of the guys on staff built us a website, so it's douglasfootball.com. Douglas has two S's on the end of it, so douglasfootball.com. There's all kinds of information. There's videos. There's schedules on there. Some good stuff going on, so check it out.
That's great. And so, Don, your son is on the team, right?
No, he's a coach.
Sorry,
the coaching staff.
Yeah, he's on the coaching team.
He's helping.
I wish he was on our team. He's about 6'4", can catch, run.
Yeah, a 23-year-old would kill it in a high school football.
I think they'll ask for his birth certificate. That's where we'd have a problem. But yeah, we're very excited. It'll be his first opportunity to coach and teach. He's going to teach physics at the new high school.
Cool.
Probably not the first year. The first year is probably going to be a basic science class because, like Coach Landis said, we're not going to be at full capacity. But he's excited to teach and coach. And I think that's one of the fundamental things that I like about the school itself is when Lester Diaz, who's the principal, went looking for all of his folks to man that school, he looked for people who could do both the coaching side and the teaching side as much as possible.
Cool.
So that the kids get that relationship built in both the classroom and on the field, whichever sport they're doing. And I love that philosophy, and I think it's a great philosophy. And Evander's just excited to be a part of it.
There's no doubt. If I can hit on that real quick, because off our staff, I think right now we've got 8 or 9 guys that are in the building in some capacity. And so that makes such a huge impact. And it makes life easier on the other teachers because, you know, those kids are going to be well-behaved and know what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And hopefully we'll take care of some of those discipline problems for them. But going back to what she was saying as well with her son, you know, the key is hiring people that are smarter than you. So I've done that. I got a whole bunch of kids. I mean, he teaches physics, so, you know, that's the whole key.
Let me explain the trajectory of this path.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, though. I do have to put one little plug in for a concession stand. We're going to have a great concession stand, so come hungry when you come to our games this season. I think they're going to be really excited about the food. I'm helping with part of that, and I'm excited about it, and I think it's just a good way to have a family, wholesome family night, and to enjoy football under the stars and get a good meal and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So
there's no doubt. You know, they do a tremendous job, our booster club, and Don's a member of that and helps out tremendously, and we're trying to make the environment over Douglas something different than anybody else in Fayette, you know. And so I think, you know, we've got the makings of that right now. But another thing I want to hit on, too, is we're having a kids camp, grade 1 through 8, on our field Friday night. Not tonight, but next Friday. We'll have some of the UK football players over to be camp counselors.
That's cool.
And then, you know, because not many camps are around for kids that age. So anyone from first to eighth grade come out. We're doing primetime camp. It'll be Friday Night Lights from 6 to 10. We'll get them underneath the lights, give them the high school experience, and let them run around with the UK kids and hopefully learn a few skills along the way.
That's cool. That's great. And where can people go to register for that?
Again, if you go on our website, douglasfootball.com, you can pre-register right there. And we also take walk-ups. Obviously, we prefer you pre-register, so we kind of know what we're looking at numbers-wise. You get a T-shirt, something to eat, and learn some ball.
Well, that's very cool. Well, it's very exciting, and, you know, I think people are looking forward to seeing, you know, what kind of culture gets created at Douglas or Frederick Douglass High School. And I think the football team is going to play a huge role in that. And so best of luck to you, Coach, this
Appreciate
year.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much for having us.
Getting things rolling. Thank you. It was our pleasure. And, you know, I do think, you know, we hit on a lot of things. And I think the biggest thing is leading by example, particularly for adults, but also for coaches who are also teachers in the classroom as well. That balance of, you know, paying attention to what's going on the field, but also what's going on in the classroom.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. So thank you all for being good examples for, you know, teenagers out there to do what's right and take care of themselves.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, thank you all very much. And nonetheless, we'll be back here in a little bit. You're listening to WLXU 93.9 LPFM, Lexington Community Radio.